Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on 105.1 The Fan and what we like to call the Fan Sports Network. 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, YouTube. Good morning. Happy Tuesday, everybody. It's a Mail Sack Tuesday. So get those questions in at 503-864-6326. I hope everybody enjoyed their May the 4th be with you. But you got to be careful because it's Revenge of the 5th.
You nerds need to be stopped. Somebody texted
me. What do you mean we need to be stopped? 2 days a year, it bothers you?
He said, Brandon, your Mexican mask has nothing compared to me and the homie yesterday. We were at a bar and a grown-ass woman came in a complete stormtrooper outfit at a family restaurant by herself.
A family restaurant by herself?
You're taking it too far.
No, that's great.
Remember we had the debate about can you go to a Blazer playoff game by yourself?
Oh, that did not age well for me.
I think going to things by yourself is okay.
I was wrong.
Dressing up like a stormtrooper and going to a Mexican restaurant by yourself is not okay.
Is there a more depressing stormtrooper than a stormtrooper alone dipping a chip in salsa?
And then you got to awkwardly take the helmet off. Now I'm eating my chips and sauce. How are you going to eat? You got a mask on. You dress up like a stormtrooper. You got to take that thing off,
I love that you had to add this sound effect because you know there's like some kind of air that's going to get released
sealed.
From that pressure.
The mask is sealed. You got to survive in outer space. You know what I mean? You got the oxygen tanks, the whole thing.
Did she order a margarita? It's been a day.
God, it would be great if there was like a little mouth hole right in the mask and she's just sipping a margarita in a big straw. Like, why are you doing that by yourself? Go find you. Look, we can make fun of you.
Somebody
LARP
should have
by
taken
yourself.
A photo of this.
You need him. If you're going to go, May the 4th be with you. Go find a friend who wants to May the 4th be with you, too.
Well, happy Revenge of the 5th to all my fellow nerds out there that appreciate the world. George Lucas.
Darth Vader's going to be walking around the waterfront tonight at the Cinco de Mayo party. We're confluencing two events. I'm confused right
now. Imagine that solo stormtrooper. She's sucking a margarita through a straw hole.
Da, 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 da.
What happened? Are you okay? Ah, oh, the day I had, we had to blow up a planet. Oh, it's tough.
Luke got us again. Lost. Sneaky bastard.
Oh, man. Well, happy Tuesday, everybody.
It's a nice visual to picture. I like that.
I would have taken a photo.
I think you have to. If I'm there, I'm not asking for a picture.
Taking one when her helmet's on, so their identity is not shown.
Yes, you don't
want
to reveal the identity.
I'm not going to do that
but
to somebody.
But you're doing the discreet, like, I'm just looking something up on my phone. Turn it to the side. Take that one. Put it in the group chat.
Hope you enjoy your Tuesday out there. Let's get it going. It's a delightful little morning. The mail sack is 503-864-6326. We'll get to that in the final hour. Happy May 5th, you remind you that June 23rd, Toyota presents the Fan Golf Classic out at Langdon Farms. Foursomes on sale now between the morning or afternoon round. Hurry up, they're filling up fast, or so I've been told.
I think the afternoon's almost sold out.
Oh, is it?
I believe so.
I haven't gotten a memo on that, but they're filling up fast, so hurry up. Go to 1051thefan.com, click on the Fan Golf Classic logo for more information. We'll be hanging out on the par 3 6th hole. That's the infamous Angel's Envy Bourbon par 3. And then we'll all be eating Matt's Barbecue. Shout out Matt's Barbecue, always the best brisket. Again, 1051thefan.com, Fan Golf Classic is presented by Toyota. It's also brought to you by Vulcan Design and Construction, Henderson and Daughter Windows and Doors, George McCoy at Warren Allen Attorneys at Law, Battery Exchange, Maestro Dobel Tequila, your neighborhood restaurant group, Philbrook Law, 1-800-DIVORCE, Roto-Rooter, Illegal Mezcal, and Window Nation. We will get to some hockey audio in the second hour of this program.
Look at us becoming a hockey show. Did you watch any hockey last night?
I did not watch any hockey yesterday.
Okay.
I got to be honest with you.
I missed it.
I saw the Hurricanes were down 2-0 in the first period, and I went, uh-oh.
They gave up 2 goals on their first 3 shots of the game.
Tommy, 2 goals.
And then
he's
not
down.
Give up one the rest of the game, and they're still undefeated in the playoffs.
And they won in overtime.
Bad owner.
Well, there is something that popped. When we get to the audio, I will pull up something that I was like, there's the cheapness of Tommy D. But we'll talk about that when we get to it. A lot to discuss. Let's start the second hour, though. Game 1, Minnesota-San Antonio.
Phenomenal basketball game.
I was quite excited for this series because I thought it was really impressive what they did against Denver without any of their star players.
No doubt, especially in the back end of the series to close it out the way they did.
But then when they said Anthony Edwards is questionable, I was like, oh, my God, he's questionable. He's going to play. If he's doubtful, okay, there's room for not coming back quite yet. And he didn't look 100%. And he didn't have his best game. He acknowledged as much in the postgame.
Yeah, that was a really weird walk-off interview. They just won game one on the road in chaotic fashion. It's like, I was bad. Got to get my offensive rebounds.
I love that. I mean, I do too.
It just was kind of a funny moment of like, it should be like, that was a pretty big win for you, but it kind of sums up who Ann is as a player.
But they all played really well, and they got down, but they came back, and it was a back-and-forth, down-to-the-wire game, and Julian Champagne got the ball. They were down two.
Dude, what a look, too.
Nice
wide
little
open.
Pump fake. Gets the defender right by him. Takes one power dribble. Goes to his left. 1 second up. Fires away. As clean a look as you could ask for. If he hits it, they win. Front rim. Spurs fall to the Wolves. They're down 1-0.
Lose game one.
Your takeaways just from one game of a seven-game series between these two teams?
I mean, I think the biggest thought going in that I didn't give enough credit to was the availability and the ability of Anthony Edwards to play and be impactful. Like, he wasn't dominant. He didn't go for 45, but he was incredibly efficient from the floor.
11 in the fourth quarter.
11 in the fourth quarter. When they needed buckets, he found a way to go get him. And I know he was disappointed in the, you know, missing a couple of offensive rebounds or not a good defensive rotation late in the ball game, but he was outstanding. And that's I think we're just on paper going in. I'm like, I don't think Anthony Edwards is going to play. I'm shocked that he was available based on the way that injury looked and how short of time ago it was. It was remarkable that he was out there and was able to play 25 minutes. And it felt like they kind of load manage him throughout the game, waiting for him to need him in the fourth quarter. The other takeaways were, I mean, outside of it just being a phenomenal basketball game, the last minute was so much fun. I think one of the things that bogs the NBA down from time to time for me is the amount of timeouts, fouls, reviews, and everything that transpires in the last minute. That was a very unique, like, I don't think there was a single stoppage in the last minute of the game. It just, like, there was a possession here, somebody get a bucket, and then even all the way down to the end, I love San Antonio not calling a timeout. Like, I know you could criticize it today because they didn't end up making the shot. They got a great look. A wide-open three down by two with a chance to win the game on your home floor.
Like, with debatably, well, I don't even know if it's debatably.
Their best three-point shooter.
Their best shooter.
The guy you want in that
That's
moment with
does.
The ball to shoot that, and it was just off by a millimeter, and he almost made it. The ending of the game was great. The back-and-forth was great. I think the bigger takeaways that I had were, one, I thought it was an incredible coaching job by Minnesota. I love the way that they attacked. I love the way that they used Randall in different ways to kind of – I know Wemby –
He was so good for them in moments.
And Wemby had like 38 blocks in the game. I get it. He's setting all sorts of NBA records. But it felt like at times Randall did a great job of pulling him away from the paint when he needed to, kind of screening him at times when other guys were driving. I thought Randall was fantastic. And I think if I'm San Antonio on the other side – the only concern I would have, it's one game. You never overreact. We'll see how game two goes on Wednesday. It's just there's times when their offense in late in a playoff game in a series like that against a team with experience, who do you go to for the bucket when you need it? And that's the one thing about Wemby at this point in his career. He's just not that guy. He wasn't super impactful scoring the ball. He didn't have a game one like he did against Portland. He wasn't making a ton of shots. He was still very good, but he was 0 of 8 from 3, 5 of 17 from the floor. And there just felt like moments where they didn't really know who to go to and run the offense And Minnesota did not have that problem because Randall and Edwards were delivering every time.
Yeah, Randall got their last couple buckets, but Edwards had a couple. Him and Keldon Johnson going back and forth.
Yeah, like, that was good.
I think this is going to be a little bit of a spicy series. And I think as it continues to progress on, like one thing that I had talked about yesterday that ended up happening, when we talk about the Spurs this year and how great of a story it was, right? Think about our friend Jason Minnix in San Antonio when we were previewing the Blazers-Spurs series. The one aspect about San Antonio, and many people didn't care, they were overlooking it, and maybe they will ultimately be right here. Last night was an example of what I wondered in the back of my mind of the young team.
For sure.
First rodeo, not having gone through it together. They have guys that have been there and done it.
Right.
Right? Fox doesn't have a lot of experience in the playoffs because he had the one season with the Kings. Harrison Barnes has won a championship with the Warriors. Right? They have guys who have seen the playoffs, but they don't have a whole lot of collective experience with it. And you know what's funny is one of their best players last night, Dylan Harper, 18 points off the bench. He was 7 of 13 from the field. I thought he was really good.
Really good again.
You talk about the need to go to basket. Champagne got a good look. I'm not mad about the last shot look.
No.
We know who that guy is because he showed himself against us twice. It's De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
And De'Aaron Fox last night was 5 of 14 with only 10. So when your number one go-to guy to go create and get a bucket for himself is off, then you're stuck in a situation of like, is it Vassell? Is Wimby going to do it? Is it going to be
his
Castle?
Offense is just out of control drives. It felt like all he could do offensively last night.
I think that's my takeaway, too, of like early on. And this is hopefully a great series. I hope this goes six or seven and
I think
is
will.
Lengthy in a battle.
Yeah.
But one game in, and I had this a little bit with the Blazer series. He is, we know how special and tall and athletic and freaky he is. We know all that. But when you watch him, and I think there's many people that have seen some stuff, but like it's not the most diehard of sports in the regular season for sports fans. I think people are like, man, he looks very raw offensively. It's a lot of like big spins, out of control. You know, he had one, and I thought it was, I think it was Crawford. Crawford was on the broadcast, right?
Yes, he was.
Crawford made a great point. It was on the side. It rimmed out. He grabbed the rebound
and
shot it.
Yeah.
And like, dude, just come down. You get 14 seconds. Collect yourselves. Run some actions.
You're 7'10". You could shoot over everybody.
And, you know, I think those are the learning moments for him and a lot of these guys on this team that they just have to kind of experience and go through it. And I don't know if they'll lose this series or win it, but last night to me just showed that one team had been to the back-to-back Western Conference Finals together, and the other team is going in into this whole playoff experience for the first time. Also, they noted Wimby, who had 7 blocks at halftime. He finished with a triple-double, 11, 15, and 12 blocks.
Which is just wild.
I do want to highlight this, though, because I don't want to just glaze all these players and never, like, criticize them, right? Because I think criticism's fair for athletes. I thought a lot of his blocks were goaltends.
It felt like there were a handful that could have easily been called.
I love watching him play. The amount of times he blocks, but he just completely body checks the living hell out of people.
After the block.
I mean, players get called for that stuff all the time. Like, when we go to block a three-point shot and you just take a guy out, you know what I mean? So, like, there's an element of him getting away with some stuff paired with, I think because of how long his arms are, it's really tough to gauge in real time how close it is between block and goaltend.
Yeah, right up against the glass a number of times.
Yeah, and it felt like of the 12, it felt like maybe half of those were goaltends.
I'm with you there. There's a frustrating nature of watching him because we know how talented he is. I think he'll get there, obviously, at some point. Him not having like more of a back-to-the-basket game, because you're 100% spot on in terms of watch. I didn't see that many Spurs games this year, so this is kind of the first time you're watching full games of him on a consistent basis. Him being that tall and that lengthy and not just having something where you dump it to him in the block and he turns around and flips it up. He don't need to have a Kareem Skyhook level shot. That's one of the greatest shots in NBA history.
But if you develop
it's wild to me that
that's untouchable.
His offense is basically being a guard.
He plays like Anthony Edwards.
He's out on the three-point line shooting threes, trying to drive for the hoop. And it's like, dude, you're a foot taller than everybody. There's moments when Gobert's not on the floor and Randall's guarding you. And I get that he's bulkier and strong. And so maybe you're having a hard time getting to where you want to get to on the floor. But like,
imagine the Skyhook with that guy.
You just dump it till you turn around and shoot it. He can't block your shot.
Yeah.
It's frustrating, I think, because you think about being that tall and how are you having a hard time scoring, but he was really bad offensively in that regard last night. I did have the same takeaways with the block shots, and I think that was an angle, you know, in terms of the experience that we talked about going into the Portland series that we certainly were not able to capitalize on because they smoked us in 5 games without Wemby for a game and a half of the series. But that was certainly on display last night. Like, there was a calm nature of Minnesota late in games. They've been through a lot together, man. Like, that's part of the NBA. They've been to back-to-back conference finals, largely the same group, mixing in a piece here or there. But they've had their trials and tribulations, and so they've seen just about everything there is to see come postseason time, and that's not really the case for San Antonio. The one thing I will say in defense of San Antonio, and it's one game, right? I think they're going to probably win game two, and we'll see how it goes from here. But I also think for them, that's a lengthy layoff. Winning in 5 against Portland, when was game 5? Last Tuesday, I want to say. And then you're waiting all the way until Monday. Like, that's just kind of one of those weird, you have a full week off. It doesn't happen a lot in the regular season. And so now you got your legs back underneath you. And it wasn't like Minnesota went that much longer than that. But at least they were a little more fresh and it wasn't a quick turnaround for them. So I think that probably had a little bit to do with the game. I'm not going to give up on the take from yesterday because I still think Philly and New York can be a great series.
Sure.
But this one, in terms of a game one delivering and giving you hope of like, ooh, that's going to get good, I don't think Minnesota's going to run away with it. I think San Antonio is too too good to let this be a five-game series. They're going to battle back in it, and I think you're in store for a 6 or 7 classic.
I just think styles make fights. You know, it's like I don't have a lot of hope for the Oklahoma City-LA series.
No.
I think that's going to be
Luka being there would be interesting, but without Luka, no
Detroit-Cleveland, I think, certainly can be
fun, yeah.
A good series because Cleveland struggled with Toronto, and Detroit doesn't have a whole lot of offense outside of Cade Cunningham. Like, that series could be tight. I don't know if it's good. But I just looked at this, and to me, it's about who they have and how they match up. Like, yeah. Jade McDaniels, for example.
He's so fun.
And he didn't even play his best game last night, but he still gave you 16. He's feisty on defense. You got Julius Randle, who didn't shoot the most efficient, but, man, he hit some big buckets late.
Yep.
He's somebody you can get the ball down. He can operate right at the elbow. And then you mentioned what he does with Wemby. Like, that's the thing about Wemby. Is I don't expect him to get a whole lot bigger throughout his career. I think he's always going to kind of be more lean and, you know, kind of a more thin build.
Yeah, yeah. He won't turn into a Giannis.
No, but to me, it's about watching him against, like, thicker players like Randle, where they're able to just kind of put that arm in the back and, like, they're
You're just, not going anywhere.
Well, it's just a constant, like, yeah. Dude, that's like 250 pounds just pushing into you.
Banging on you the entire game.
Like, there's a wear and tear effect there. And, I hope he stays healthy and he continues to play. I did find myself watching this last night. And Ann Edwards, who came off the bench, he has these couple moments and he's barking and he's like, I'm back. He's like letting you know it. I found myself rooting for Minnesota in this game.
I did too.
I don't know. I don't hate San Antonio.
I do. Screw them. Well, I hate that they're that good already. Minnesota winning one would be fun. And Ann Edwards is the most.
What do you mean already? They went through a longer stretch of no playoffs.
There's 17 championships they've already won in my lifetime. They had to go 7 years without being in the playoffs.
But
get
Minnesota,
out of here, dude.
I find, like, and then they show A-Rod once in a while after a big bucket. And I'm like, yeah, A-Rod. And I'm like, what am I doing?
Why
right
am I
now?
Cheering for A-Rod?
Why am I cheering for the owner? What a weird thing.
The only thing Minnesota's known for is having Kevin Garnett and wasting his prime and him winning a title in Boston. That's all they got.
Yeah.
They've done nothing. Their uniform. By the way, elite uniform matchup, too.
Great.
Those
uniform.
Spurs unis mixed with that color, the Fiesta floor.
Well,
oh,
my daughter,
my, God.
My oldest, loves the Fiesta. I mean, she loves Steph Castle,
yeah.
Also loves the Fiesta floor.
Which, by the way, where Sprague was right yesterday, who fouled out of the game?
That was my worry.
He got screwed on one. Randall had one where he shoved him, and he was trying to front him down
but
in the
you
block.
You can bait him into doing dumb crap.
Dumb
He's still
stuff,
a really
dude.
Young, aggressive yeah. player. You can bait him into being stupid.
Also, to the coaching point that I made where I thought Minnesota, just Finch was outstanding last night, he's back on the floor with 5 fouls. He picks up the 5th one when Randall shoves him from behind, which was a bad call, but whatever. It's
right
going to happen. And the next possession, he's back on the floor. They get a switch off of a screen. Who's got to be the primary defender? And I can't remember who it was on Minnesota, but they just basically drove into his chest and shot a layup, called the foul. Boom, he's out of the game. He fouled out with, 3 minutes to go, which they desperately needed a point guard and a scorer on the floor late.
I know we've debated or talked about coaches here in Portland because we don't, maybe it's Tiago Splitter. Maybe it's, fill in the blank guy we haven't really named yet. Maybe it's Sam Cassell. I don't know. The funny thing about coaching in the NBA is if you go back in the last 4 months, because Minnesota, what are they? Are they technically a 5 seed? What
I
are
thought they?
They
were the 6 seed, weren't
seed,
they?
Yeah,
Minnesota or Denver was the
You're
3 seed.
Right. Houston was the 5. You're right. If you go back and look at the last 4 months of Minnesota, guess who hates Chris Finch?
Minnesota fans.
Timberwolves fans hate Chris Finch.
That's the way coaches work
and
in the
NBA.
And
it's just such a funny business that those guys have to operate in of like, hey, team that's banged up or not playing well,
right?
We hate the coach. This is all the coach's fault. And I'm just like, okay. And then you get to the playoffs. And look, coaching sometimes does boil down to simply like if Mitch Johnson has Wemby go for 35, the Spurs win that game yesterday.
Yeah, he's making 5 of his 8 threes that he takes. They win the ball game.
It's a make or miss league, but it is funny that when they get wins, big wins on the road, and it's like, oh, you
Very
hate
true.
Him, huh? All right, cool. Can we take Chris Finch, please? I'll take Chris Finch. If you don't like him over there, we'd love him out here in Rip City. But yeah, I'm with you. I thought he was really good. More on the NBA. I got one more NBA thing I want to get to on the other side. And then I got hockey audio, and man, it's uncomfortable. And Tom Dundon, suddenly very, very cheap over there in Carolina. They're up in the series. They came back from 2-0. But he did something in Carolina that I find hilarious that definitely is going to happen for us at some point, and it needs to be noted. So all that is ahead. Hour number 2 rolls on. Dirt and Sprague 105.1. the fan. A media question was asked at a press conference yesterday, and boy, it's an uncomfortably real good conversation to have. You just don't see media members in America ask questions quite like this.
Let it fly, big dog. Speak your truth.
And I have evidence Tom Dundon's cheap.
Uh-oh.
How will we ever operate? I don't know.
We're going to cease to exist, man. We're moving to Seattle. See you later.
The Seattle Super Blazers.
I'll still be a fan. Red and green colors. The Christmas tree of the NBA. Let's go Seattle Super Blazers. We're just Seattle's bitch permanently. Never getting over it.
The guy
might as well become a Mariner fan and a Seahawks fan at this point.
The guy worth $4 billion that couldn't buy the whole team by himself has suddenly got $8 billion to relocate the team to Seattle because the NBA is just going to give Tom Dundon free moving rights.
All those billionaires up there lining up to pay for an expansion fee. They're going to tell him, no.
We want Tom Dundon's money
again. We want Cheap Wad from down in Portland to move his team up to Seattle, all right? Get out of here.
We'll get to some football stuff coming up here at the top of the hour. But, I continue to be interested, and I know we had a big conversation about this yesterday. You know, maybe for one of the few times ever, we might all be in lockstep agreement on this station.
Mm.
You and Danny Meringue.
Me and Danny Meringue agree on something.
You, Bloods and Cats.
Cats and dogs getting together.
Cats and dogs.
What do we agree on?
Get Giannis.
Oh, get Giannis, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. Also, the other thought I had from last night as it pertains to our lovely Portland Trailblazers.
How do you not, can I ask you this real quick? I know you're going to throw out something.
Fire away.
I'll ask you this, throwing it at you, because I know you're going to throw something back at me. Do you not watch these with your Blazer eyes of like, I want to be part of this.
Yes.
How are we going to be a part of this? What can we do to be a part of this?
Never been a part of it really in my entire life.
Okay. But
I'd like to dance one
are
time.
Are you watching Minnesota San Antonio last
dance?
Night?
Yes. I do.
I just want to be a dancing boy,
just,
Mom.
Somebody. So I'm standing on the wall over here. Okay.
Right.
I want to get my back up off the wall. I want to get down on it tonight.
It's prom season.
Somebody let me get down on it. You know who lets you get down on it? Giannis.
Yeah.
I did have the thought, though, watching them. I don't know where the series goes. I certainly don't think Minnesota's going to, you know,
nobody does.
Win it in 4 or 5, right? I think it'll be a long, lengthy series. But I did have the thought watching the game last night. Dosunmu, how did I do? Close?
Good job.
Okay. If he comes back, I don't know what his status is, but the way he was playing in round one.
I didn't see an update.
Well, you threw the Anthony Edwards bubble at me. I was not keeping a track of my injury reports for game one. You're like, well, Anthony Edwards might play. And I'm like, what? Did you see what happened to his knee?
He's day-to-day as of right now for game two. So
that's
really a wait and see.
If you're San Antonio, that's kind of lingering in the background right now of him. He was awesome in round one for them, and he turned out to be a steal at the deadline, one of those kind of moves. What if Minnesota wins this series in 5?
Right.
We came out of round one thinking to ourselves, some more optimistic than others. I took more of the approach of like, God, some of your key guys were really bad, and that was a tad alarming. But I think the one thing, whether you were on one side of the coin or the other, all said coming out of the series was, yeah, but it's San Antonio. Like, they're a wagon. They're going to go to the conference finals and probably push Oklahoma City.
Right.
And if they lose in 5 games in the second round, which I'm not predicting will happen, but they're now down by 1, I did have that thought of last night of, like, that's a bit of a tough pill to swallow locally, is it not? Are we acknowledging that we're even further away than we originally thought in the aftermath of that series?
I think the one thing I think about with the West in relation to the Blazers is how many teams in my mind are we chasing? I know we were the 7th seed. That sounds like a stupid question, I think, to a lot of people.
The answer is 6, Sprague.
Yeah, I know. I understand that.
6, then 7.
But, like, when you look at the West, you would name Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
That's been dead for months.
We're bringing it back.
We're not.
We're doing it.
As a coach of a team.
Kids these days are really into it right now.
That would utter the terms 6 or 7 at any point during practice and have the whole team stop practice to do the hand thing.
And every time in
we're not
game,
bringing it back.
When you would make a shot to go down 6 to 7, yeah. Would they do it in the middle of the game?
No. Thankfully, no, because they couldn't see the score because it'd be one of those small electronical scoreboards.
Too tidy.
But in practice, I'd be like, they're probably going to have 6 or 7 players that they can 6, 7! I'm like, focus. We're not doing TikTok stuff right now.
Are you sure?
Focus.
We could be filming this right now. It's content.
Anyways, so you look at Oklahoma City. San Antonio's going nowhere.
No.
But Minnesota is showing you like, yo, when we have our guys, and they don't even have all their guys, but
no.
When we have our guys, look what we're capable of.
DiVincenzo's still IND ain't coming back.
You can write off Denver all you want. I read a good piece of like, should the Nuggets blow it up? You got the people in Denver saying, no, we don't feel that pressure to have to blow it up. Orlando people saying they don't feel the pressure to blow it up. Like, there's four right there, and that's not mentioning, is Phoenix going to get better? Because they had a really nice surprise season for themselves.
Yes, they did. What superstar are the Lakers going to lure this offseason to pair with Luka Doncic and,
the
maybe an aging LeBron James still for another year?
Like, and somehow the Lakers probably get Giannis, right? We want Giannis, the Lakers end up with Giannis.
Who's the next team that takes a jump, by the way? Does Dallas land the number two overall pick, and that Boozer and
Cooper,
or whoever it is, and Cooper Flagg are all of a sudden on the rise? It changes, man.
It's not to poo-poo the season. They certainly deserve a lot of credit. They played well. They had all these injuries. I'm watching these through a lens of like, and this is what I was saying yesterday of, I like Trey Murphy. I do. I'm not anti. I just don't know really what does that do for you.
Yeah.
I don't know how much that truly changes your circumstance. So I looked up last night because somebody was talking to me about Trey Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
And they said out loud, Trey Murphy, Portland could be the four seed next year. How many wins did the four seed have this year?
Ooh, that would have been the Lakers?
Would have been the Los Angeles Lakers.
I'm going to say 52.
Very close. 53.
53.
So Trey Murphy is going to make us 11 games better?
That's a big jump.
You might throw Dame in there, too, and say, guys, Dame, back to Dame, Trey Murphy.
He certainly will help with your shooting deficiencies.
That's fine. But if you want to take that leap, you're looking at that kind of a win-loss leap.
Yes, and the other point that I brought up constantly in the back half of the year was, how many teams in the West are going to tank to the level that they did this year, next year?
Well, not anymore. I mean, I think if one thing, you can can Silver for caring about that issue too much. You can Silver for the idea or the 3-2-1 initiative. What I will say this to Adam Silver's credit, I think basically what teams took away from that is, all right, we're going to stop being egregious.
Well, yeah, I mean,
they're going to stop like having bad teams, but it is going to be like, this year was historically awful. It was 26-26-25, 22-22.
I mean, just
that was
awful.
The out of playoff play in,
and we played all of those teams in the back half of the year.
Well, but all of those teams were sans Cooper Flagg trying to lose ball games.
Yes,
the Sacramento Kings got investigated for literally throwing a game away because they couldn't stop winning the game.
They had they fouled with the lead.
So I don't think you're going to see all of these teams lean into it for a while, because I think the message was sent of like, basically stop doing that to that extent.
The only teams that I feel confident right now in saying will suck next year, maybe some of them prove me wrong. Sacramento, Sacramento's always
good. Yeah, I would always put Sacramento in it.
New Orleans has no
totally fair.
Like, you're not going anywhere.
Memphis has
and
to
Memphis
be.
Is, yeah. They're. I mean, Jackson's gone. They're going to trade John Morant. They're blowing it up and they're starting over. Outside of those three teams,
I think Utah's going to take a step.
They got Jaren Jackson Jr. They're pairing. They might again get another pick. Lauri Markkanen's good. Dallas
George,
might get a very good pick. And everybody else, like Golden State's in a weird moment of flux, but as long as they have Steph Curry, like, they're going to have a puncher's chance some nights more than others.
You see the Kerr report, by the way. They're not sure if he's
He might go to ESPN. That's a really weird one. He just can't quite figure out what he wants to do.
I don't think he wants to walk away, because I think he genuinely loves coaching Steph Curry.
Yes, he doesn't want to leave before the run is over, but also how many more years does the run go?
Well, the run's over.
The run is over. I tend to agree with you there. But it gets back to that point of just like, you benefited a ton from that. And so can you get 11 wins better when your schedule, I would imagine, is going to be harder
next season, right? Yeah.
It's just going to become more difficult. So you might improve slightly, but I don't necessarily know if that means that the win-loss improvement is that big of a jump. That's a massive gap to go from 42 wins to 53. And we say this a lot in football. Like, college football is a great example of this. I think going from being a 5-7, 6-6 team to like, hey, we're 8-4. That's a good little year. Is a easier jump than we're 8-4 to a 10-2 college football playoff contender.
Oh, I agree with that.
And I think that Portland has gone from, we went from we're one of the worst teams in the league in tanking to, hey, nice little year.
This was our 6-6 season.
Look at
that.
We got to a bowl game this year. That's great. It's a whole nother ball game to go. We're jumping Minnesota, Houston, LA, Denver. Like, getting into those conversations, that's a massive, massive step to take.
And you certainly have your questions in the West with Houston. What they're going to do, is Kevin Durant going to get traded?
Houston had a discombobulated season and they won 52 games. That's 10 more than you.
No, I know.
Without one of their best players available all season.
Totally fair. We see Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers are in a weird spot because this investigation is still being, you know, it's underway, or is it a wrap, and we're waiting for the announcement? We don't know. So there's still question marks all around you in the West that are above or slightly below, but it's more about just like the idea of how you build this. And I'm not one of the idea that, like, we mentioned going from like 6-6 to 8-4, 9-3. I'm not saying that we need to take the leap to be a top four team in one season.
That's
I don't know how feasible that is. But if you make a Giannis trade, you are telling me that's
on the table.
Goal. We're trying to be a top three team in the West next year.
Yes, we are.
Because Giannis, Dame, Denny is, to me, how do you make 11 games up? It's that.
They play,
they're out there, and when they play, they're incredibly difficult to stop. So
puts you into a different tax bracket if you go get Giannis this offseason.
It absolutely does. Whereas if you get Trey Murphy, you are kind of telling me, we want to get better, but we're trying to build this out more in the next 3 years versus the next just season.
And I will say again, on the Murphy stuff, he's certainly a good player, and I don't watch a lot of Pelicans basketball, but I've seen his stat lines, and they look solid.
Yeah.
As long as the asking price isn't astronomical, I got no issue with it. If you want to try and go more of an Indiana Pacers route because Giannis won't agree to sign the extension and you're going to say, you know what, let's get a lot of 2 and 3 options on the same roster and see where we go, I'm okay. You just got to have assets to go do other things. You cannot give up your first-round draft pick assets to go get only Trey Murphy because it doesn't make that big of a difference.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. But we'll have to kind of wait and see. I'm just keeping a lens with the Blazers watching the NBA playoffs as Minnesota upset San Antonio on the road last night. An impressive game one win for Minnesota. We'll see if they get DeSomo back and then Ant Edwards. Maybe he's in the starting lineup for game two, but he said he was going to come back. He came back, and he was still disappointed with his performance, even though he had 11 in the fourth quarter of things. Let's move on from basketball. Had a lot of basketball. Let's go to hockey. We had an uncomfortable press conference yesterday, and Tom Dundon being cheap or being smart as a businessman. We'll get to that coming up next on 105.1 The Fan. Look, we appreciate the sports that we like on the side. But coming up at the top of the hour.
Winning football.
You got them, boys.
We are going to talk some college football.
It's ranking season. Gets me hot and bothered more than anything.
Ranking.
How could you? What? Yelling at my computer, reading an article. You put him third?
You're right, and holding grudges on that person for the next season.
I'm going to remember this come November.
It is a
mail sack
Tuesday, so the mail sack questions can be chimed in at 503-864-6326. I did it.
You did what?
For the first time, I think I finally pissed off Brandon.
Oh, it happened, yeah.
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
And well, you're a dumbass who doesn't read his emails. This is on you.
He's not wrong, but I think it's the most polite anger I've ever seen out of a human being.
He gave you one of these.
Eat your own butt.
Yeah, he did. He did. Like with a smile on his face.
I'm right, you're wrong, and you need to.
Eat your own butt.
That's what you need to do.
I didn't say I was right. I just asked, do we have this here? And he's like, no,
it's at the end of the hour.
Read your email, you dumbass!
I'm like, dude, I got 13,488 unread emails in my work email. You think I read my email?
Look, when somebody else is flying the airplane, which Brandon is today, wherever we're going, man. I'm sitting in 12B. Whatever you're doing, that's fine with me.
Again, I'm just proud of you that you were even ready to go for it. Because usually when it happens, you're just scrambling to find the email to see what it is or asking me what it is.
Also a valid point.
That's not true at all.
Also a valid point.
Here's the funny part. It's actually not your email I'm scrambling for. It's usually the read of those reports.
Yeah, you gotta pull
those
up.
Crap, I forgot to copy paste. Yeah. Where is it?
Understood.
Where is it? And that's when I'm like, what is this? Who is this? Because I'm not reading the other emails.
We got to make sure our business partners are happy, man. We love all of them.
If the email says money, I open it. If it doesn't, it just stays largely unread. You like money?
I'll
note
that for tomorrow.
Wait, you're going to sell me an iPad? It's a good deal, and it's in Africa? Now I'm interested.
This
it's from
poor
a prince?
Prince. He needs my help.
I'll buy your iPad from you, buddy.
Let's get to some hockey. Let's do some hockey. I can't fire this. You're going to have to fire this off.
Oh, yeah,
my
I'll fire it off.
Broken, but
I got you, dog.
So there's a new general manager. There's a new sheriff in town in Toronto.
Toronto is, for people who don't watch hockey, think of, I don't know, what's a good comp to another
sport. The
Bills,
sport. Right?
Yeah, Bills.
I
but
know they
they're
have
like,
a history.
They're
but
a bigger deal than the Bills, if that makes sense. Like a lot of heartbreak. It's almost like the Cowboys and the Bills combined.
Okay, fair.
Like they're the big, like
they've
Toronto.
Won, but it's been a very long time.
It's a massive city. It's a massive deal in Canada. The Maple Leafs are it's the damn national flower. Like it's the Maple Leafs. They're a big deal.
Very fair. Maybe the Minnesota Vikings. You know, a combination of those. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
So Toronto has a disappointing season. They fire everybody.
Yes,
they've hired a new general manager,
John Chyka.
John Chyka. And Dirt tells me the backstory to John Chyka is he worked for the Coyotes and he did some super shady stuff.
He was the youngest GM in history. They hired him when he was like 25. Like, dude.
25?
I'm not kidding. Like, I hope I'm not wrong on that, but he was like mid. He's still, by the way, so he got fired, suspended by the NHL, just got rehired to be their GM. He's still the youngest GM in the NHL.
How do you even have the resume?
Let me check the
to
age.
Be hired as a general manager in the NHL in your mid 20s.
Yeah, I think I might have been a little misleading there.
Even
let me
if
check.
It's 29, what are
26.
You doing?
He was 26 when he was hired. 26 in 2016,
there's
he was hired.
No way his resume.
So he's now 36
26.
Years old.
That's crazy.
Insane, right? He's like he was this boy wonder of the NHL, and it flamed out. He quit. He got fired and suspended by the league for doing all sorts of shade. He like ran his own combine before the NHL draft.
Yeah.
Like hosting players and not alerting the NHL that that's super illegal. You can't do that.
Okay.
It's not like a pro day. Like that's not the way this works. So he got turfed. He got suspended. He was kind of blackballed from the NHL. And Toronto said, hey, we need a GM.
And it's quite controversial. So here is the opening press conference, the introductory press conference to John Chyka. In Canada, take a listen to a reporter who wanted to ask a question.
Steve Simmons, Toronto Sun, for Keith. You talk about the due diligence that you did on John prior to hiring him and now hiring him. In the past, say, 3 to 4 days, I have been in contact with about 20 people who work in the National Hockey League, many of whom are prominent names that we would all know. And of the 20 people I spoke to, one was supportive of John's hiring, and the other 19 thought it was a sham, to be perfectly honest. Words were used like con artist, liar, salesman. How did you come to a different conclusion that I was able to come to in a very short time?
I must have talked to different people.
That's it? Because I'm telling the hockey world today is astounded by this announcement.
Okay.
And your response to that?
Is we've conducted due diligence, and it was deep due diligence. It was a thorough process, and I'm quite happy with where we've landed.
His suspension, by the way, cost the Coyotes a first and a second round pick. Like that's
and the Coyotes have been pretty terrible, right? So that was probably a very, very valuable pick for them.
So terrible that they're now in Utah.
They're no longer in existence. Yeah, they now move cities. They are now the Mammoth. Like they lost a first and second round pick out of this. It was like a different version of Deflategate, if you will. And he was also, by the way, while he was GM, like actively looking for other jobs and calling other organizations to go be their GM, and so he was breaching his own contract. Like, this guy was shady.
Why did he get the job then?
That's why they're asking these kind of questions at the press conference, man. I love, though, the unfiltered nature of a Canadian press conference in that way.
Well, I do,
they're
too.
They're not messing around with their Maple Leafs. The Maple Leafs have been known as a great team in the regular season who always chokes. This year, they regressed. Auston Matthews got hurt.
Yeah.
He's probably going to be on the way out. I mean, they've blamed other players and sold other players off, traded them away. This is an embarrassing look. There's a lot of prominent Maple Leafs fans who are like, dude, we're done. We're done.
Well, they're not.
This one might actually
No.
We'll wait and see. If they have a bad record, I mean, they'll eventually be back, sure, but not in the John Chyka era.
You really buy that?
I do buy that, yeah.
I'm trying to think of
who the hire we can make. I don't know if there's even a comp in the NBA.
Bob Whitsitt. We fire Joe Cronin, we hire Bob Whitsitt.
Old Bobby W is back.
Trader Bob is
Trader
back.
Bob. If we hire back Neil Olshay.
That's tough because they're not hiring back somebody.
I know, but what he did was also not. It was workplace, mistreatment.
I'm trying
of employees.
To think of like a really hated. What if we hired
think of somebody
Doc Rivers?
Yeah, I mean that would be it. Like, it's got to be somebody who's been punished by the league.
Well, I guess that's different.
Like Donald Sterling's still alive, buying the Blazers. Would you be done?
He buys the 19% from Tom Dundon.
Would you be done? If Donald Sterling is he's dead, right? He croaked a while ago, didn't he? Or is Sterling still alive? Did I kill him off?
I think everybody did.
I'm just going to go on a limb and say he's dead.
I don't remember any announcement of him being dead.
Dude,
but
he's not dead. Yeah, he's 92. How is his old ass not dead yet?
He's super rich.
Jesus, man. Well, Paul Allen was too. He died when he was in his
60s. Well, the universe isn't always fair, is it?
No, no, it's not. But that's the equivalent of like him. He was the guy the NBA was like, what the hell? Let him buy the Blazers.
He's just loathed and hated.
What?
Yeah.
Donald Sterling's our owner now?
I mean, look, you're more.
You would be done.
You're more plugged into this, but also they're not. It's Toronto. It's the main. Maple Leafs, they hate this guy.
They're going to hate watch it. They're
Austin
root,
Matthews will be skating for them next year, and they will be in jerseys.
Unless John Chyka trades them away.
Going tarps off. I have evidence that old Tom Dundon's cheap, Tommy Two Nichols, has showed his ugly face in Carolina.
Did they not let the masseuse into the arena before game two last night? Well, and they needed him in overtime.
I think they did.
How did they win without a masseuse? They had to go all the way into OT in that game.
They won despite Tom Dundon last night.
Oh, okay.
By the way, good point. Might assistant be like coaches. Hiring Chauncey back.
Yes, that's a yes. Great one.
Literally the guy arrested by the FBI.
Like
year.
if he does a plea agreement and spends like a year in prison and then like in 2 years gets hired to be an NBA head coach, that fan base would be like, dude, what?
So here is evidence of Tom Dundon's cheapness.
Okay, what do you got?
So it showed in Carolina, and we had heard about this, and we already know he's cheap, right? So Carolina, you noted, created these things called Descate. And it's basically a 60-ounce beer in the shape of a skate glass.
Phenomenal idea. They sold out in the first game.
Sold out. Completely sold out. Like, gone. Nobody. And people that have them, they're going to put them on the secondary market and make money on them.
Dude, I throw that thing up in my man cave. It's one of the coolest creations I've ever seen for, like, a game giveaway.
Fans were super jacked for game two. Team had to announce, oh, we're not doing that ever again.
They only did it for one game?
They did it for one game because I think spent the money to make them.
That's my guy Tommy D, though.
Made a huge profit.
You know what he's doing?
I'm not doing this anymore.
You know what he's doing? He's thinking about the customer. If you do those every game, you can't sell those on the open market. I go to any Hurricane game anytime and buy one. You got them for one game. Limited quantity. I got back into cards. Me and my nephew were going through his cards the other day, and you got to get the ones that are rare, man. You got to find those. That skate boot, the boot, it's rare.
What a terrible excuse. Loaded third hour of
still
the radio
undefeated
program.
In the playoffs. I'm sure Hurricane fans will be okay.
Off-season college football rankings. They got dirt hot and bothered. We'll tell you how. It's a Mail Sack Tuesday, hour 3 on The Fan.